The reading is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 19. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. And now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided."
Please be seated. So we come to our theme of thanksgiving, that other aspect of prayer. We've looked at a number of those recently, so there's a few more to go as well, and this is my first foray into this series, my thanksgiving in prayer. Those of you who are at all familiar with the Anglican liturgy for communion will recognize this piece of liturgy that is used. The leader asks, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." The congregation responds, "It is right to give him thanks and praise." Oh, make Anglicans of you yet, Simon says. And then the leader, "It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy." Our duty and our joy. "At all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God." Older version, some of you might even remember that. "It is meet and right and our bounden duty." Often it is our joy to give thanks to God. Always it is our duty to give thanks to God. And thanksgiving should be an essential part and component and ingredient in our daily prayers. You think of the prayers of Jesus that we see in the Gospels. Before he feeds the 5,000 in John chapter 6, he takes the loaves and he gives thanks. When the 70 return from their mission in Luke chapter 10, he gives thanks to the Father for what they've seen and what God's done through them. Before he breaks the bread, the Last Supper, he gives thanks. And in John 11, remember the raising of Lazarus from the grave, John 11, 41, we read, "So they took away the stone, then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me.'" And that's an expression of faith, actually, because Lazarus had not been raised as yet, but he knew that the Father was going to answer that prayer. If you can't think of anything else to say when you pray, say thank you. Thanksgiving, you see, gives our prayers impetus. It's a great place to start, isn't it? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, says the psalmist. It's a great way to kickstart our prayers, to pull out the choke, to get the prayers going. We read of the prayer of David and in 1 Chronicles there. The temple has been built, the lifelong dream has been fulfilled, a toil and sacrifice of the people and so on. The task is complete now. David leads them in this opening ceremony, this opening prayer, reminding himself, reminding them of a number of things, reminding them in verse 10 there of God's faithfulness from generation to generation, everlasting to everlasting, of God's majesty, verse 11, his greatness, power, his splendor. These are things that are always true and that never change. Whatever kind of week we've had, whatever we might be going through. And then, of course, he goes on to God's provision. Wealth and honor come from you. We give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But did you notice as the reading went on, he's almost as if he was struck by another thought. Oh, hang on a minute, he thinks. Actually, who am I? And who are the people that we should give generously? Because everything's come from you in the first place. It's all yours anyway. Thanksgiving recognizes that all that we have received as a gift. That life itself is a gift, not an entitlement. I'm told that if you ever get to buy a boat, choosing the name is very significant and very important. I quite like this one. The fact that it's Unsinkable 2. You wonder what happened to Unsinkable 1, don't you, in that sense. Bill Hybels, who was into boating and so on in the States, he went to saw this magnificent million-dollar yacht in a harbor there in Newport, California. And painted on the side was the name that the owner had given to it. And the name he'd given was Deserved. He was saying something, wasn't he? Whatever I have got, I've earned. I deserve it. I'm entitled to it. It's mine. A bit like the rich fool that we call in Jesus' parable, remember? He enjoys this abundant harvest. What shall I do? All that I've achieved, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build bigger ones. I'm going to celebrate all that I have achieved and take things easy. And there's no sense of gratitude. We can't imagine him suddenly bursting into a chorus of praise God from whom all blessings come. Luke 12, verse 16, the words are significant. It says, the ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest. The ground. It was not his doing. It was the earth's doing. And behind that, God's doing. That crop was a gift, not an achievement, not an entitlement. Gratitude requires humility. Thanksgiving expresses that humility. Everything I have, everything I enjoy, everything I have achieved has come from God. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So, thank the Lord for all his love. You know, there's been research into gratitude. We evidently all have a kind of gratitude threshold. Don't we have a pain threshold, don't we? You know, some of us feel pain much sort of lower down the scale than others. For others, you think we have a higher level of pain threshold. The same is actually true with gratitude. It takes a lot for some people to feel grateful. For others, they will feel it much sooner. And it changes the more we have, the less we are likely to be thankful for the smaller things that we have. You know, a dying man in the desert will be thankful for a glass of water. A rich man in his mansion will need a fine wine before he thinks of saying thank you. The more we think we are entitled to, the less we will be grateful for. What is your gratitude threshold? Do you take for granted things that you used to be thankful for? It happens in a change of times, doesn't it? To pray is a great time to stop and remember, to say thank you. It gets us going in our prayers. It reminds us that actually all that we have received from God. And therefore, in a sense, nothing we have is truly our own. Thanksgiving gives our prayers impetus. Secondly, thanksgiving prayers gives our prayers context. David's prayer, as he looks back through his experiences, he praises God for what God has done in his life and in the past generations of his family, his people. Praise God to the God of our father Israel from everlasting to everlasting. We remember God's goodness to us and to all God's people. God's faithfulness as time goes by. Again, as we sing, O God, our help in ages past, a hope for years to come. It's good to stop and remind ourselves. You know, sometimes Thanksgiving comes easy, doesn't it? We've got something to say thank you for. But sometimes we have to stop and remind ourselves that we still have things to say thank you for. In Jesus' day, evidently, or maybe some Jews do still today, they have what are called the 18 benedictions. Don't worry about, you can't read them all on there. But each one of them begins with this, blessed are you, Lord. And they cover all that God is and all that God has done for his people. Now, a devout Jew would recite these first thing in the morning. He would do it again in the middle of the day. And again, last thing at night. A reminder of the many ways God has blessed and guided and cared for his people. Even perhaps when he's beginning to feel struggling to say thank you for some reason. I was hearing about, some of you will know this person, Matthew Henry. He wrote a big Bible commentary that certainly when I was at college was the thing you had to save up for and buy. His commentary. He was an 18th century writer and Bible commentator. One day he was on the road and he was attacked and robbed. Afterwards he wrote in his diary, let me be thankful. First, I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. And third, although they took all I had, it wasn't much anyway. And fourth, he said, thank you because I was robbed rather than I was the one who was robbing. Thanksgiving reminds us of the things that we do have. It reminds us of who we're talking to when we pray. That he's the God who is there, the God who is faithful, the God who has heard and answered prayers in the past, the prayers of his people, us and others down the years. And in this way, finally, thanksgiving gives our prayers a perspective. You know this verse in the New Testament. It's maybe a verse we've struggled with, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. We know that's not easy. We know, of course, it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. The stuff happens that we cannot be thankful for. But give thanks in all circumstances. But there are times when we find ourselves in situations where it's hard to say thank you. Even in those situations, I want to suggest and encourage you that there are at least three things you can give thanks for. Firstly, give thanks for God's everyday blessings, you know, the ordinary stuff, the beauty of creation, the wonder of the things we see, food and drink, a warm and safe home if we have one, music, literature, art, books, television. There was a chap who used to come to our church who liked to try and shock me, you know, with things that he said. He would say things about my sermons sometimes, about how many people don't appreciate them and things like that, you know, just to encourage me each time. And his wife died, and I remember going to see him. It's a bit like David Coffey when he left one of his churches. One of the long-standing members said to him afterwards, I must admit, over the years, you've preached some good sermons. Unfortunately, that wasn't one of them. And his wife died, And I took funeral, went to see him a few times and so on. And after a while, I went to see him again. He said, do you know what got me through? It wasn't Bible, it wasn't prayer, it wasn't church, it was that. And he pointed to the television in the corner. It was that box in the corner. And I thought to myself, God's provision comes in many different ways, doesn't it? God's ordinary blessings. I'm sure there's times when you've been in one well, you've been thankful for Tipping Point and The Chase and Countdown and all the other things that have just got you through those tough days. The snooker. I mean, I used to go visit, you know, some of the elderly folks in the church, and they were all watching the snooker. And sometimes I would follow an entire match as I went to different houses, as it were. Oh, he's winning now. Oh, he was a bit behind before. And so on. The ordinary stuff, the everyday blessings, the measure of health and strength you do enjoy, the kindness of a stranger, an unexpected call or visit, a rainbow. G.K. Chesterton, the priest and the writer, Father Brown, he says, I say grace before meals, but I also say grace before the play and the opera, and grace before the concert and the pantomime, and grace before I open a book, and grace before sketching or painting, swimming, fencing, boxing, playing, dancing, and grace before I dip the pen in the ink. God's everyday blessings. But then there are secondly, God's special blessings. I'm thinking there are those things that enrich life for us abundantly. Our family, our friends, a wedding, an anniversary, Christmas celebrations, Easter, happy memories. When you came to faith, or when you see someone else coming to faith, or being baptized. Way God has blessed or used you in a particular way. You know, these special times are tokens of God's love at all times. Those special blessings. I'm sure some are coming to mind, even when I'm speaking, aren't they? Oh, yeah, I remember that now. I remember that. Those special blessings. And then, of course, finally, God's greatest blessing. The gift of Christ and all that's ours in him. As the Apostle Paul writes, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Paul wasn't often lost for words, but even he found it difficult to put it into words, to express such grace, such gift. Words failed him for such a wonderful gift. Gratitude. I think the fact that gratitude is actually commanded in Scripture tells us that it doesn't always come easy, does it? Take Colossians 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and be thankful. Or again, that wonderful promise in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Giving thanks is a command to be obeyed because it recognizes the debt that we owe to our Heavenly Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. The New English Bible translates that verse in 1 Thessalonians like this. I quite like this translation. Give thanks, whatever happens. It's a bit like the hallelujah anyway thing, isn't it? Whatever happens, God will be with you. Whatever happens, you can know his peace. Whatever happens, nothing will separate you from his love. Thanksgiving in prayer reminds us and puts our life, let alone our prayers, into perspective. The Apostle Paul wrote these words. He knew his share of tough times and difficult circumstances, hardships, beatings, imprisonments, sleepless nights, hunger, misunderstanding, poverty, and so on. And that persistent, irritating thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. Yet he gives thanks to God for his sustaining grace. For thanksgiving renews hope and increases appreciation of what we do have. There's an old story of the American settlers as they were making their way across America and the Oregon Trail. And they set out with such hopes and such enthusiasm. But then, a bit like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they started to lose their enthusiasm and became frustrated and discouraged and so on, and started to moan and groan. And so amongst one group, there was a meeting called so that people could air their grievances. And then this group gathered together. One of them said, before we do anything else, I think we should thank God that we've come this far without loss of life. We're no serious trouble. We've had enough strength to continue the journey to here. And so they stopped and they all said, thank you, God. And then there was silence. No one had any complaints after all. The voice of gratitude had silenced the moans and groans and put everything into perspective. We live in grumpy times, don't we? You go on the internet or whatever, everybody's moaning about this or angry about that. An ungrateful person is a miserable person. Someone you don't want to be and you don't want to be with. An attitude of gratitude sets us free from that sense of being hard done by. It expresses our trust in the faithfulness and goodness of God and opens us to receive more from Him. We have so much to be thankful for. And that's why thankfulness should always characterize our prayers, whatever we're praying for, whatever our situation is. Let's pray together and let's say thank you. Lord, we confess before you that sometimes we imbibe the spirit of the world with its sense of entitlement and sense that we deserve this or that or something else. And then we start to moan about what we do not have. Forgive us, Lord. Help us each day to count our blessings. Those everyday blessings, the ordinary things of just a new morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The spring. Life around us bursting through. The freshness of it all. Lord, we thank you for your everyday blessings. And we pray that we will thank you every day for them. We thank you for those special blessings. Those things that perhaps have come to mind this morning as we've been here reflecting on it. Those special occasions where you were so obviously near and blessed us and met with us. We thank you for the memory of those times that encourage us that you're with us at all times. And we thank you for your greatest blessing, that unspeakable gift, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, given to each one of us, undeserved, unmerited, unearned, and yet ours full and free. Grace and forgiveness, full and free. Lord, you've been good to me. We give you thanks and we bless you, Lord. Amen.